I do this as much for Carolyn today as the rest of you combined. I assure you. We've had our three grandchildren with us this last several days, and we have truly enjoyed it, I must say. But I will also say this. I was seeing that this was the 500th anniversary of Ponce de Leon's death. If you remember the legend of Ponce de Leon, he came over with Columbus. I think it was on his second trip over here. They say he was looking for the Fountain of Youth. And so for the last 500 years, men have been looking for the Fountain of Youth. And I was telling Carolyn, in 2 days, our grandchildren have helped us find the Fountain of Old Age. And we've got two more. So if any of y'all have any suggestions, we're open to them. I want to make sure we mention what's coming up this week. I know that it has been in the prayers of many of y'all and the plans, but we have a gospel meeting coming up starting this Friday evening at 7 o'clock. And as mentioned, if you come an hour early at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a hamburger cookout. Mike has made the arrangements for that, and I think Guy is going to be helping with that as well. And so we'll have that just before the 7 o'clock meeting time. We'll be kicking off our meeting with my son-in-law, Josh Duncan. They have selected the topic of legacy. I think Tristan and some of the other men got together and tried to figure out what would be a good topic, and they told us what they'd like to speak on, and it sounded really good to us. I think it's going to be one that's very uplifting. But the first lesson will be on our legacy of living in love. With the idea of leaving that legacy behind us, for not only for our life here, but for those who follow. The next day, at 7 o'clock in the evening, our speaker is going to be Justin Brown. And I think most of y'all know Justin from Tulia. He married Macy Thurman. I think just about everybody that's been here for a few years remembers Macy. She always used to grab Carolyn after services and ask her if they could go over to our house and get some candy. And so she has grown up and married a fine man. As a matter of fact, Justin preaches, I think, once a month in Dimmitt to help them out. But his topic is going to be the legacy of living with joy. And again, that should be a very good lesson. That'll be Saturday at 7 o'clock. And after that, we'll have a dessert gathering, pie supper, whatever you want to call it. If we have too many pies, don't worry. We have a pie annex next door that we can take the overflow. But come for that if you can. And then on Sunday morning, before our worship in our Bible class, we're going to have Zach Hayden speaking for us. We're going to combine the adult class and the teen class this next Sunday morning only, and he'll be speaking on legacy and just anything he wants to speak on legacy. So we're looking forward to that. And then next Sunday morning, during the Sunday morning worship, Tristan Loomis, also known as George Loomis V. They keep telling me that George is coming, and I keep trying to figure out who George is because we've got him here. But apparently they call Tristan George in Lubbock because there's no confusion. But Tristan is studying to be a preacher there. He's been preaching on a number of occasions for the Milwaukee congregation and will be bringing us the morning message next Sunday. And he will be talking about the legacy of living by faith. And so the first three lessons will be love, joy, and faith. They should be just outstanding. Next Sunday morning after our morning worship, we'll be having just a regular old potluck dinner. I shouldn't use the word old with that because we love our potlucks. It's been a long time since we've been able to really get together and enjoy that. And we'll do that next Sunday morning after worship services. And then next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, we have Blake Devaney coming. Blake is, I believe, Mark and Susan's oldest grandson, if I'm not mistaken. He lives in Lubbock also. All four of these young men do. And we're looking forward to listening to Blake speak. He is going to be talking about the legacy of living in service. And so I think the topics are going to be wonderful. I know that the young men that are going to be bringing them are going to have an encouraging message for us. If ever whenever you wanted to invite somebody to the worship, but you wanted to have a good impression, bring them next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if you can. I think it'll be just a time of encouragement, not only for us, but also for these young men. And then more than anything else, we want to glorify God through all this. So continue to be praying for it if you can. We've tried to make the times as convenient as possible, but it will still be a sacrifice of your time. And let me encourage you to make that sacrifice of your time. It's something that I truly believe that this congregation has the most important presence in Happy, of any group in Happy. And I believe that in order to make sure that presence is good, we support one another and encourage others to be part of us. And so again, some of you may not be able to make all four of the sessions, but if you can, please be making plans for that. Again, it'll be an encouragement to these young men as they will be an encouragement to us. And then finally, don't forget, after this morning's worship, probably about 5 or 10 minutes after, we'll ring the bell. If you can be helping with our Vacation Bible School this year, we're going to be having the first one in the building that we've had in 2 years, and we're looking forward to that. But we can sure use everybody's help. So if you can help with that in any way, or just interested in finding out about it, come, and we'll be meeting at the Fellowship Hall about 5 or 10 minutes after worship this morning. And my stopwatch has been going the whole time, so I'm not going to take away from your time, but the message that I have today, I believe, will certainly be worth your attention. It's a message from the Scriptures on faithfulness. We have been trying this year a little bit different type of a daily Bible reading. For those who don't already have a Bible reading that they're comfortable with, that is helpful to them, we've suggested this year just reading from the New Testament one chapter each day. Take 260 days to do that. But what it will do is it will get a Bible thought on your heart. For the day, it'll be something that you can contemplate and turn over in your mind as far as what it means for your life. And it'll also keep you in that close contact with God each day. If you're not a daily Bible reader yet, let me encourage you to begin, whether it's this particular schedule or one of your own. There's nothing you can do, I believe, better than to allow God to talk to you each day in addition to your prayers to God each day. It will change your life in a very good way. And for those of you who do that, I think probably the vast majority, you already know that and can recommend it. In the book of Acts, in our daily Bible reading this last week, we've come across several passages on faithfulness. The first is found in Acts chapter 14, if you'd like to be turning over there, and verse 21. In Acts 14, verse 21, it says, they preached the good news in that city. The they we're talking about here are Paul and Silas and Timothy. And it says, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. When we talk about faithfulness, that's what we're talking about, is remaining true to the faith. What is the faith? In Romans chapter 10:17, it says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And so when we talk about faith, faith is not something that we just believe because we believe it. Faith comes from hearing the message of Christ. That's what the New Testament is. In the Great Commission that we're all familiar with in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. We usually get that part right, don't we? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always till the end of the age. Well, this second part, I believe, is so critical to us. And sometimes in our proper intent to make sure that people become Christians. He said, make disciples by baptizing them. Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. When we talk about making a disciple, we're talking about somebody who's going to become a Christian, a follower of Christ. And while we are very intent on helping people to be born again, and we don't want to lose that part of it because you can't start until you're born, we certainly don't want to miss the second part, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. That is what a Christian does, is he lives faithfully before God by keeping the commandments. That's what the New Testament is. It is the apostles' fulfillment of Christ's command to teach us to obey everything. And so, getting back to this passage in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Let me stop for just a moment there. I thought the kingdom of God had already come with the church. And of course, it has come with the church. But understand, the kingdom of God is twofold. It's the same thing, but it is the church here on earth, and it extends into heaven as God's chosen people in heaven. If you wonder whether or not you're going to heaven, whether you're saved or not, you have to ask yourself, am I in the kingdom right now? We know what the initial part of that is. We read it over and over. We know after hearing the word that we have a decision to make. Do I believe it or do I not believe it? If I do believe it, we're to call on the name of the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, we're told that that's a confession that Jesus is Lord. A belief in our heart that God raised him from the dead. In 1 John, we're told, whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God will have God living in him and he in God. This is the calling on the name of the Lord. It's not some kind of a made-up prayer that men have somehow glommed onto. It's talking about our confession of belief. When we've had that confession of belief, we also repent of our sins. Sorry for what I've done. I realize what I've done is wrong. I'm not going in that direction anymore. I'm turning towards God. A repentance. There's a sorrow. There's a change of behavior and a turning towards God. And then, of course, being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're told in Acts chapter 2 that when we do that, we will not only have the sins, our sins forgiven, but we'll also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not talking about the miraculous gift that came upon them, but talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, our seal of redemption. Again, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. When we become a Christian, God adds us to the kingdom, but you can leave anytime you want. A lot of people do. The scriptures tell us to be careful lest we fall. There's a lot of people that think you can't fall, but that's ridiculous. We're told to make sure that we don't fall away. But if you remain faithful unto death, or if you come back to God after having been unfaithful, then you're back in the kingdom again. And if you die in that situation, or if the second coming comes in that situation, you will be able to enter the eternal kingdom of God that is on heaven's side. So, when he says we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, and he's talking to disciples or Christians, he's talking to people who are already in the kingdom, in the church, but he wants them to remain faithful. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 4 now, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Remember, the scriptures were not written, certainly not fully by this time. I doubt if there was more than maybe just a letter or two, maybe one of the gospels at this time. But they were coming and they were delivering the message to the people that God wanted them to have. In verse 5, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. When we talk about being strengthened in the faith, and faith comes from hearing the message, this is what we do. We gather together. We hear a portion of the word preached or taught from. Had an excellent class in the teen class this morning from the 21st chapter of Proverbs that Wade did. I know y'all had an excellent class in here as well. But this is what we do, is we increase our faith by studying, listening to the word, reading the word. They were strengthened in the faith and they grew daily in numbers. The church is not just going to be stagnant when you're growing in the faith or when you remain true to the faith. The church is going to be growing in numbers. There will be occasions, and we'll see them, where just the differences in life, maybe you've got a number of people that move out or a number of people that pass, where sometimes you'll go down, but the church as a whole will grow and strengthen as long as we are in the faith. The moment we leave the Word, the strength is gone and the growth goes away. When you look at the church worldwide right now, when you look at the church nationwide right now, a big part of the problem that we see is the church is shrinking in numbers. Why? We see when they were strengthened in faith, the church grew in numbers. Can it be anything else than they are weakening in faith when we shrink? In Galatians chapter 5 now, in verse 22 is where we'll start. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about where you get the Spirit, by the way. We have a twofold measure of that, do we not? The Holy Spirit has inspired the Word, and so we can be in contact with the Holy Spirit in that way. That's the only way we can know what it is we need to do. But we also have the Spirit within us. When we are baptized into Christ after our repentance, we receive again forgiveness, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like a seed that's going to produce fruit within you. If you get an apple, you know that it's grown off of an apple tree. You know that apple tree grew from a seed. It didn't just happen. It didn't come from something else. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We see the world trying to get these attributes in a physical way. They talk about love, and love has been reduced just to affection or even lust at times. I realize there are people who have a strong affection for one another, who have good relationships, but the type of love we're talking about here is spiritual. It is a spiritual fruit. It is not available for those who are not in Christ. You have to understand that. It's a different type of love. Joy. We look around and, well, that guy looks pretty happy. He's not a Christian. Well, you can have happiness, but you can't have joy. Joy is a spiritual fruit that comes from the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. All these things, when we get to faithfulness, we have to understand how important this faithfulness is. We have to remain true to the Word. There's a passage in Hosea. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to turn back to Hosea chapter 4, talk about that just for a moment. Hosea, they say, is the only prophet that actually resided in the northern kingdoms of Israel. While there were a number of prophets who prophesied about the northern kingdoms of Israel, Hosea apparently was the only one that actually lived there. And as he was prophesying at the very beginning of Hosea, God tells Hosea to do something that is shocking. He is told to go and marry a prostitute. Why would God do that? The reason that God was doing that was because Israel was worshiping idols. And God said that idol worship was the same thing as adultery. It was spiritual adultery. And he wanted to make such a point to these people, and such a shocking point at that, that he had a prophet, a man of God, go and marry a prostitute, an unfaithful woman. And then as he was married to her, she would continue to be unfaithful to him, to the point where he had to put her off for a while. Well, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live there. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There's only cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land mourns, and all who live in it waste away." They were unfaithful to God. We know what that term means in marriage, and we know how shocking that term is in marriage when we hear about it. This is what God wants us to understand. When we talk about serving Him and serving Christ, we are either going to remain faithful to them or we're not. We can't have both them and the world, serve both them and the world. Do we live in a physical world called the earth? Of course we do. But this idea that you can participate in sin and participate in righteousness and somehow it makes no difference to God because of His grace, that is absolutely opposed to the gospel's teaching. He wants us to be faithful to Him. And He makes a very distinct and clear example of faithfulness. Well, how do we remain faithful? Remember what we talked about earlier? Faith comes by hearing. Look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." There is no way you can remain faithful to God if you don't know what His Word says. And it's certainly not going to be enough for you to come and listen in Bible class or listen to an occasional sermon or listen to what Mama had to say or what Uncle Bill had to say or whoever. While these things can certainly enhance our understanding of Scripture, faith comes from hearing the message. We have to go to the Word. What happened when the people went away from knowledge in Israel's time? God called them spiritual adulterers, and He said they were destroyed. They were completely undone because of that. And so it behooves us to make sure that we understand what God has to say for us. And again, there's only one source of that. "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge" has one cure, and that's knowledge. I know that's obvious, but isn't it odd how often we struggle in life? We're trying to do what's right, but we just keep struggling, and we fail to realize that when we have our biggest struggles, it's because we're getting away from God. We know there's difficult time for Christians. Jesus promised Christians they would even be persecutions for them. But as far as these unnecessary struggles we have, it's because either of a lack of knowledge or a lack of application of it. That's what makes us unfaithful to God. And God will not tolerate it for any length of time. So we need to make certain of that. Final passage we want to look at is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And I love this part because Jesus is talking to the seven churches of Asia. He's talking about the different difficulties they're going through. Some of them they brought on themselves by their sinful behavior. Some of it is persecution that's brought on them for no other reason than they're trying to remain faithful to God. And so to those who are trying to remain faithful, in Revelation 2 verse 10 he says this, "Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You'll suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I'll give you the crown of life." Be faithful. This idea of being faithful to the point of death certainly took into account, and I believe was focusing on, their physical peril that they were in at this time. But it also points out that if we'll just be faithful until the point we die or get to experience the second coming, whichever comes first, then Christ Himself will give us a crown of life. But that crown is reserved only for the faithful. And in order to be faithful, we have to be in His Word to find out what He wants us to do. And then because of our love for Him, do our best to walk in obedience to that. Are you faithful? The invitation's open this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian or need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward and let that be known while we stand and sing?